Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Saga. Again, we're talking about these companies the federal government has been targeting. Coinbase is the latest to be targeted by the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. Even after Coinbase basically said, look, tell us what to do. We'll jump through all the hoops. We love government. We just want to be part of government. And we're so excited to spend millions of dollars to obey your regulations. And the SEC didn't say anything back to them. And they now are suing Coinbase. We don't have a copy of the lawsuit yet because they haven't gotten to that stage, but they sent them what's called a Wells notice to essentially put them on notice that they should expect a copy of a lawsuit to be served relatively shortly. So we'll keep you in the loop as that develops. But in related news, Custodia Bank, which is this special depository insurance company, I think is what it stands for, in Wyoming. They got a special carve-out in the Wyoming law where you can make a bank, but it's not really called a bank, but it kind of is basically a bank. And that's what they created in Wyoming for, like, crypto companies to come in there and do that. And so some of these entrepreneurs, they did that. They created Custodia Bank, and they applied after they created it in Wyoming. They applied for Federal Reserve membership, meaning that they can then send and receive wire transfers and ACH transfers and things like that. They'll have access to the system. And they were denied after waiting for a couple of years, as you pointed out, Chris, longer than statutorily allowed. The Federal Reserve was supposed to, or Treasury or whoever it was, whichever government bureaucracy, was supposed to deny them or approve them within a certain time frame, and they didn't. So there is a lawsuit, I believe, that Custodia Bank is bringing against them at this time. But meanwhile, the Federal Reserve has now put out some sort of a statement. And this was published on A. Pompliano, Pomp, on Twitter. He's got an excerpt from it here. And he says, Custodia Bank sought Fed approval as a bank that holds $1.08 for every $1 deposited.
No, wow, 108% reserves.
Yes, no fractional reserve lending, no nonsense. They were denied. The Fed blamed bank runs as one reason that they denied Custodia's application. The irony,
because they would be a safe haven if the fractional reserve banks were going under. So they would protect consumers, and the government doesn't want consumers protected.
So here's the excerpt from the actual...
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That is just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Not that they did it, but that they were actually that honest about it, that was the problem. I would expect them to just assassinate the people involved.
Here it is in their own words.
It's not too late. They might still do it.
Well, they might, but now they've told some truth. Mm. So, and I mean, they might be charged because truth is treason in the empire of lies.
Here's the excerpt from the Federal Reserve's explanation. Quote, additionally, the admission of an uninsured deposit-taking institution to Federal Reserve membership is unprecedented since the creation of Federal Deposit Insurance in 1933 and requires careful consideration of the heightened micro and macro prudential risks of wholly uninsured deposit-taking. The absence, so again, they're not
uninsured
members.
Uninsured. Except that they have 100% returns, reserves. So there's nothing
Why
to
do you need
insure.
The insurance?
Yeah. You know, this is an interesting question, saying uninsured, because what if they go and get an insurance policy from an insurance company? Because you can get private.
You can get private insurance.
Right,
sure.
That has nothing to do with the government.
Great question.
Wow.
Of course, they didn't know, so they might not
They're
have that.
They're probably referring to FDIC insurance.
I suspect the Fed is.
I'm sure that'll be their next response.
Doesn't make sense or apply when you're not running the fractional reserve scam in the first place.
Right. I mean, you would still need insurance against, like, robbery or whatever, right? Like,
right.
So if somebody comes in and puts a gun to your teller's head and then they empty
sure.
the vault or
there's,
something like that.
You know, it's interesting because there's also there's two different organizations for FDIC. It's not called FDIC for the credit unions.
NCUA.
I mean. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's actually different insurance already out there. Mm-hmm.
But again, NCUA wouldn't apply because it's not a credit union.
Sure.
And they're not really a bank either. And they would probably say, if they got insurance from Lloyd's of London or whoever
yep.
instead of the FDIC, they would probably turn their nose up at that and say, well, you can't trust private insurers. We can only accept our own insurance.
You can only trust the psychopaths who won't even tell you what the rules are.
So here's the next sentence. There's only a couple more sentences here on their excuse for why they rejected Custodia Bank. And this is just an excerpt from God knows how many pages. Quote, "The absence of deposit insurance coverage at Custodia could increase the firm's risk of runs and
how?
Contagion. I have no idea how. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. If you ask 100% reserve institution for your money, they have it.
Yeah.
They don't need to be insured against not having it.
And the final statement. This is especially concerning because the global crypto asset industry on which Custodia has focused its business model is highly susceptible to runs, as recent events have demonstrated.
Oh, wow. It's so much more complicated than that.
But, yeah. And when they say runs, they're talking about targeted assassinations by the psychopaths. Wow.
Yeah. So right there under the, you know, in the situation that's happening right now as Federal Reserve banks, member banks are losing, you know, billions in customer funds, as Pomp points out in his post of this. This is while people are literally doing bank runs on banks that don't have the customer funds, while this bank would have, this one would have had 108%.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but some of those banks weren't connected to crypto, like Credit Suisse, right?
Credit Suisse, not that I know of. So this is bigger than crypto. And in fact, there was another story that came out.
Which just makes that statement all the more insane.
Yeah, and there was another story that came out over the weekend. I believe it was Stanford that did a study showing that 186 banks are even worse off than Silicon Valley Bank.
Well, yeah, Silicon Valley Bank was also rated, as being one of the more stable or better banks.
Mm-hmm.
And the run isn't based on fear, not necessarily on whether or not it's a sound bank.
Sure. They went down because they had a run. The other ones would go down, too, if there would be a run
right.
on those banks, if there's
fear, if fear caused by Twitter people, you know, cause a run, it doesn't matter, you know, how stable the bank is. They're not. Right.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I've been seeing things on Twitter saying that the way to protest the trumped-up charges against Trump, that there's an ironic statement, is to pull your money out of the bank.
Absolutely.
And I fully support that, not necessarily to protest what's happening to Trump, but to protest what's happening to anybody who tries to exist without enriching the monsters.
I would say don't pull your money out of the bank. Exchange your money for your dollars, your government currency, for something else of value.
You've got to take it out of the bank to do that, though, because the banks don't have anything of value. All they have is lies and favoritism.
We've been talking about this. We actually had Aaron Day. Is that who you're seeing it from online? Aaron Day, the presidential candidate and Free Stater?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen it from just random people
because he's been hitting it hard
on Twitter. But okay,
he's on there every day. I don't know if you guys are. Have you ever met Aaron back in the day?
I believe that I have met him. I know he ran for Senate.
You wouldn't recognize him probably now if you saw him because he lost 150 pounds in the last few years, so he'd been really he's really focused on himself and, you know, making himself well over the last few years. But he's a Free Stater. He moved up here, I don't know, more than a decade ago, I think, probably around the time when you moved here, Nobody. And he's run for office at the local level. He's run for, like, U.S. Senate as well. And he decided he was going to throw in on the presidential race in the Republican Party. So we actually have an actual Free Stater running in the Republican primary. He's pro-independence. He's pro ending the war on drugs, and he's pro bank run.
Oh, nice.
He's been hitting this bank run thing hard.
I wonder how many votes in Texas he would get just by saying, "We won't go to war with you if you secede."
That's a great point. And that would be a really good time too, because Texas has an independence measure that is going through its state house as we speak. It's been assigned to a committee, and that's as far as it got last time. So we'll see if there's actually a public hearing this time around.
And of course, if he made it into office, and I doubt he would, I mean, they'd kill him before before they let him win. But the you know, if he did make it into office, it would certainly light a fire under the secessionists to escape while they could.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like, this may be our last chance to get away from the monsters.
I mean, he knows his chances are probably on the low side, but he says apparently Twitter is...
Lucky for him, it means he might keep breathing.
Yeah, he says his Twitter account is like shadow banned or whatever, so it's not getting the exposure that it should. But man, he's killing it with the memes. I mean, he's out there throwing out bank run memes nonstop.
Wow.
So I think you're probably seeing what he's putting together, because he's definitely trying to, you know, ride Trump's coattails in some of these memes to encourage the Trumpers to go to the banks instead of hit the streets, because that would be way more effective. If you go to a protest, if you go to protest Trump being arrested, you're just going to get caught up in an FBI sting operation. Whereas if you go to the bank and withdraw your money from the bank in large numbers, then you really will make an impact on
something. It's way harder for them to respond to that than protests.
Yes. Yeah, banks will go down. And that's why they're on the, you know, Janet Yellen and these characters are on Biden on television over the last couple of weeks saying everything's fine, the banking system's totally safe, it's all okay, because they don't want fear to spread and they don't want lines to form.
And they're even as I understand it, waiving the limits on FDIC insurance and giving people back everything they lose.
Yep.
Well, of course, there's a flip side to that, which is the FDIC only has so much money.
$128 billion.
And so if they give those $128 billion to the first banks that fail, then the rest of us are going to be in a position where the banks aren't insured.
Well, they'll just print it, nobody. It's okay.
Well, there's a downside to that as well for them, because they're saying that they can't cut rates because inflation is still too high. So, and this is how the crack up boom works.
What is that?
Is the crack up boom is what von Mises talks about when you go into hyperinflation, which is basically hyperinflation is how a fiat money empire goes bankrupt, okay? Because to a fiat money empire, the currency, the dollar, is just an IOU, and nothing can stop them from writing more IOUs. They can write more IOUs forever. But once they hit hyperinflation, their IOUs aren't worth anything. So they have to write bigger and bigger and bigger IOUs to find anybody fool enough
to take
them, okay? And that will be expressed by inflation, because the people who get those IOUs are immediately going to try to turn them into real value, which von Mises called the flight to real value, which means they have to turn them into crypto, gold, silver, something of real value. And it's a big question then, what is of real value?
Yeah.
Because everything is denominated in dollars, and everything is going to be not just suffering, but completely unpredictable because of the exceptional conditions going on in the economy. So there, no company will be a safe haven because you don't know what's going to happen to a company
sure.
when the currency loses 80% of its value in a month.
Or how about, not only that, how about when their bank goes under and then they have no money to pay their employees? What
exactly.
happens to them then?
Exactly. And the FDIC doesn't have any money to give them because they've already bailed out the connected people from the previous banks.
Well, what they're doing with this, when you pointed out that the FDIC is going to back all of the account holders at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank.
Are they accepting people like Coinbase, though? I would imagine they're not going to make them whole.
They said all of the account holders will be made whole at those two banks. However, they have subsequently stated that not every bank will be accepting or will be given this level of coverage. Only the most important, quote-unquote, accounts and banks
so
will be covered.
Political donors.
Correct.
Okay.
It'll be political. You better believe it. Yeah, so that's where this is going. But what they said was, in their press release about bailing out all of the account holders as far as how will it be funded, because, again, there's only $128 billion in the deposit insurance fund right now, and the first bank that went down, Silicon Valley Bank, was a $200 billion bank. So there's not even enough
money in
there.
But that doesn't mean they were $200 billion in the hole. As a matter of fact, they may have been solvent. So it won't necessarily because they'll be able to liquidate all of their assets.
Sure, they have some. And, sure, that's a good point.
And their liquidated assets may turn out, once they sell the loans and what have you, they may it may
that's
turn out that there's a little bit left for shareholders.
Or they might sell the bank. But anyway, they said that the extra, whatever the overage would be over what's in the deposit insurance fund, would be covered by a, quote, special assessment on the banks. So they're bragging and saying, hey, don't worry, taxpayer. We're not coming after you. Hey, we're not turning on the printing presses here. We're going after the banks. We're going to put a special assessment on
translation. So that makes the banks less solvent, which
drives the customers.
The least solvent banks over the edge.
Yes.
And again, they are really between a rock and a hard place. This could be the end game for fractional reserve banking.
So translation. If I'm understanding this correctly, that means the fees that the banks charge are probably going to go up.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And the interest rates are going to go down.
Yep.
Like, as though they could go down any further, right? Because they're pretty much in the toilet right now and have been for years. Like, interest rates on savings accounts or whatever, it's like next to zero. So now it'll have to be half of next to zero or something like that.
Wow.
So that's their plan at the moment. Meanwhile,
Treasury bonds are soaring because of the higher
higher
interest rate.
And they just raised it another 0.25, right? Like another 25 basis points.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even in the height of all these bank failures, the Federal Reserve said, we're jacking up the rates even more.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's going to get interesting.
I don't know if they can pull this one out. They've surprised me before.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know if they can pull this one out. This may be the time that the whole S-House goes up in flames.
I sure hope so.
As Jim Morrison put it. And it can't happen to a nicer bunch of monsters.
I have to wonder if it does go up in flames, what are the New Hampshire state reps going to say in response?
To secession?
Secession to, I don't know.
They'll still have an excuse.
Maybe setting up our own banks, independent banks.
Jason Gerhard proposed a state bank this year.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I don't know if it got voted on by the full state house yet.
State bank, is that like...
Yeah, and North Dakota has one. They've had one for 100 years or something.
I think that's
like
a great idea.
Would that be a private or a government? And
I believe it would be a government.
Like another Federal Reserve at the state level.
I think there's actually some benefit to doing a state government bank, and in that you would then end up going through the state government bank as opposed to the FDIC or going through the Fed bank directly. And I know this doesn't sound good, but if you force other banks to go through the state bank, the Fed's all of a sudden you know, they're, what are they going to do? They have to cut out every
single
bank.
I would be very frightened by that because that puts a lot of big money into the hands of the state legislature, and they are as subject to corruption
sure.
as anyone else. Even the guys we know and we like
yeah, sure, sure.
are subject to temptation.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think this would be a good question for Jason, and maybe he could call into the show on a Friday and you guys can query him about this. But the way he pitched it, and I'm not going to be the expert on this, but the way he pitched it was the idea is if the state bank, it would be a bank only for the state. It wouldn't allow private accounts. So the state essentially loaning itself money rather than coming into TD Bank or something to get funding and then having to pay a ton of money in interest back to the bank. It wouldn't have to pay interest, and so therefore it would keep costs of state projects down because of that. That's, I think, one of the basic concepts.
I misunderstood.
I don't know where they would get the money from in the first place if it would just be taxes.
I misunderstood what he was trying to do. I thought the idea would be it would be a bank for other banks, sort of like the central
bank. Not a banker's
bank,
no.
A central bank. But the benefit, I think, of that would be is if you force everybody to go to the state.
You're talking about a banker's bank?
New Hampshire bank, yeah, a state bank for the banks in New Hampshire. If you force them all to go through the state bank, well, then if the feds say no to accessing things like ACH and wire, well, all of a sudden they've cut out all the banks in New Hampshire from accessing it. It would undermine their ability to influence.
That would be an awful lot of force, though. And the thing is, it's not like New Hampshire banks are 2%. Of the banks in the United States, even though New Hampshire is one state in 50, the population of New Hampshire is less than 1.5 million, and so that makes us one out of every 200 Americans.
It does introduce a huge problem,
though. I think it would create some massive risks. I would be very afraid to do that.
It looks like it got inexpedient to legislate on a voice vote, and that was actually yesterday.
Pretty much what I'd expect, but
So it didn't go anywhere. Unfortunately,
that's normal. But we can keep bringing it back, and every 2 years, I believe it is.
That's correct. So, all right, let's go to the phones here. We got Major Payne on the line. Major, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ian. You stole one of my funnies. I was going to say them boys should have been insured with Lloyd's of London.
Mm-hmm.
They were created to insure the uninsurable back in the shipping days.
Yeah, unfortunately, private insurance, the one thing they will not insure against is government attack. So, it's good.
And
for
you can't. It's insuring against, Frankenstein or something. You don't know what he's going
to
do.
Hang on, Major. We'll bring it back here. I know you had another point you wanted to hit on. We'll continue as well. The SEC going after one of the largest supposedly decentralized exchanges called SushiSwap. That's one of the other people they're targeting. There's more coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
UN. USA News Update. The U.S. does not seek conflict with Iran, but will strike forcefully to protect our people. That's what President Biden said today from Canada during a visit with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. A suspected Iranian drone hit a U.S. installation in Syria Thursday, killing a U.S. contractor and injuring six other Americans. Investigators are on the scene because of an envelope mailed to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office. The envelope, which had a suspicious white powder inside, was addressed to Bragg and had a note making a death threat. A post office marking on the envelope showed that it came from Orlando, Florida. A new report says former Trump Chief of Staff Mike Meadows will have to testify about the 2021 attack on the Capitol. A grand jury is probing the event that led up to the riot that turned deadly. An investigation is underway as a dozen migrants were found in a train car near Uvalde, Texas today, including two that are dead. Jerry Varmash, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We've got time for you. If you want to join the show, you can do that on this number, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Steve, Chris, and nobody here tonight. You can join us online as well. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have for you. At freetalklive.com, we do have our AMPS program, which allows listeners like you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live and help us advertise, market, promote, and support this show to help us get the show on more great radio stations. We've got over 170 stations that air the show at various times throughout the week. Of course, we're also online on podcast and live streaming as well, and you can help us spread the message of liberty, peace, freedom, crypto, gold, silver, all the stuff that we like to talk about here, 7 nights a week on broadcast radio and beyond, as Malimber has done. Malimber is one of our silver supporters of the AMPS program. You can join Malimber by going to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Get signed up there. That is our Patreon. That will allow you to sign up with your credit, your debit card, as long as the banking system still hasn't completely failed, and also PayPal as well. So head over there to amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. We go back to Major Payne on the line with us here in Michigan. Major, what else was on your mind tonight?
But just a quickie, real quick. Nobody was talking about them overprinting money.
Yeah.
And I remember that there is a $1,000 bill, I think, that they're still printing, but they pretty much just use it bank to bank.
No, they stopped with $1,000 bills years ago.
All right. Well, I used to have a $10,000 Confederate bill.
Wow.
My old man paid like $1.85 for it at an old antique.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, they used to have $500 and $1,000 bills, and they got rid of those. I don't remember how many decades ago it was, but it was some time ago. And, of course, they used drug dealing as the excuse for it.
See, the paper's going up because they keep printing it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, too, because they used to use those bills for people used to use them for, purchasing land and farms and things in remote areas. So it's kind of humorous that they use drugs to justify killing it because it's like, well, if you can use drugs to justify killing it, you can use drugs to justify killing cash altogether.
Yes, they can.
Mm.
And maybe they will eventually.
Buddy of mine had a roll of toilet paper years ago, I remember. Mm-hmm. And it was $500 bills. It might have been after they eliminated them, so they couldn't, say, well, you can't replicate this in a picture and put it on a product, right? Because they'll Shanghai you for that, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can use it on a product, as I understand it, just as long as the product isn't shaped exactly like a dollar bill, like if it's obviously
it
toilet paper. Yeah.
I thought you couldn't show more like 3/4 of the bill or something. They had to be,
It's not any one thing. It's you just have to make sure it's differentiated from a dollar so people can't mistake it for a dollar.
And don't be a political target when you do it.
Yeah. What else, maybe?
We got all this civil unrest going on, right? You guys know about the debacle in France.
Oh, yeah. There's huge protests going on. It's still going on in France. Apparently, some government building got burned yesterday in one of the French this, for listeners that don't know, the frustration in the streets, though, it's not really about a revolution so much, Chris. It's that they don't want to work. Because there's, lazy socialists there. So the government wants to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64, and that's got people throwing Molotovs and, tipping over cars.
Yeah, I understand that their reasons might not be good reasons to revolt, but a collapsed government's a collapsed government, and I might take
it. True. All right, Major, what about it?
One of the good things France has going for it is they're 3/4 nuclear powered, so they're electric.
True.
Cost them nothing, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as comparatively to the rest of the world, right? Mm-hmm. But, King Charles had a trip scheduled to go across Europe, right? And he was going to visit France, and then he was going to go on to Germany. Well, not Macron, I can't remember the cat's name in France there. But he called the king and says, I don't think he should come here. And this was like, the afternoon after they'd burned down the tall town hall in Bordeaux.
Okay.
He was supposed to go for a dinner at Versailles and then take a road trip to the wine country of Bordeaux and have himself a fine old time, watch the maids milk the goats and what's not. But it didn't seem to transpire as safe for the king.
If only there were more places that were unsafe for the king.
Right.
Well, Ian's right about one thing. The French have been entitled to too many government commodities. I think they're on their third generation of being pretty much a welfare state. They don't want to work more than 4 days.
Yeah.
You can't run a country unless you have entrepreneurs. And an entrepreneur ain't going to put that bit in his mouth at 6 o'clock in the morning if he knows he's going to get the same amount of money as the jackass next door to him that don't get out of bed till noon.
It's a great point, Major. Thank you for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. And by contrast, we also have Sarah in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, God.
that was a topic, but I kind of... want to talk
that was
about
a topic.
That.
You're right.
Trinity Broadcast Network, the Paul and Jan started that. I really like watching that Christian TV, and his son took over. But I really think that station is definitely, anointed by God or something like that. And I mean, definitely.
Is this a joke?
No, I think she's serious. She is a Christian. She goes to church.
Okay.
So I think she's serious about
For
that.
For those who don't know, anoint is defined as the act of lubricating a politician already sufficiently slippery.
So you're referring to some television broadcast network called Trinity Broadcast Network, and you believe it is the truly, the true one true word of God.
Well, you know what? They do have something stupid, something political, something that, like news, Christians, news that was kind of ridiculous. It's kind of silly. I mean, they're kind of off and they've done stupid things. But did they have Chuck Smith on the station? I think they made a movie about Chuck Smith.
I don't know who any of these people are. So sometimes you're saying it is the word of God, but sometimes it's silly and it's not?
Yeah, some of the reports on Israel.
Could it be that God just has a sense of humor? I mean, have you seen the platypus?
Well, I mean, some of them is it's just amazing of all the testimony that they have, like all these Bible prophecy. It never came true. Nobody knows what the Revelation is talking about. Everybody's got their own interpretation of Gog and Magog. Nobody knows.
And what is your interpretation, Sarah? Like, when's the world going to end and all that?
You know, I don't really think so. And then the second coming of Christ means that he's coming, he's revealing himself through the Word. That's the second coming. And when we read the Word, it's not he's going to appear in the sky, but they still preach that. And the stations, it has a deeper revelation that, and then the battle, the Armageddon is.
She is even more disjointed when talking about religion than normal. I got to say, I'm having a tough time.
My second coming was like 15 minutes after my first.
I'm still trying to follow.
I think I was 13 at the time.
This idea that there are Christian communists out there, given that the communists didn't they persecute the Christians and religious. Leaders.
Oh yeah,
they did. Yeah,
that's a great point.
Sarah is a self-professed communist. So does that mean you're going to persecute yourself, Sarah, when the time comes?
Well, I mean, by the way, that France thing, did you know that's one?
No, you don't get to change the topic on this. Because you do call yourself a communist, and they absolutely did persecute Christians.
Yeah. Religion is the opiate of the masses. They didn't add that food is the opiate of the massive.
The Communist Party in America, we accept faith here. We'll take anybody now.
Oh, for now?
Wait until you succeed.
The communists need support, so they're going to take you now. You don't know what the communists did to their own people in Mother Russia, do you?
I mean, they would take anybody in 1917, too. They teamed up with the anarchists, and then the first thing they did, once they won, was kill all the anarchists.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they probably sent a bunch to the gulags.
That's true.
Yeah. You just don't know about that, do you, Sarah? Or do you deny that that's true?
Well, I mean, the authentic communists, they took out religion, yes, but the reformed communists now will take people of faith.
Now you can trust them. Okay, I gotcha. All right, thanks, Sarah, for the call tonight. Because history totally won't repeat itself.
Right? No, history never repeats itself.
Never. The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. All right, so who else are they targeting? The SEC.
Just to respond to your last comment about history, those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it, whereas those who do study history are doomed to stand by helplessly while the people who didn't study history repeat it anyway.
Sushi Dao. Do you guys know what Sushi Swap is? You ever heard of Sushi Swap?
Don't recall, but probably I've heard of that.
Sushi seems like it would make a bad currency, because really doesn't keep.
Coin Gecko. I'm just going to look up sushi right now, because that's their, that is the name of their coin, I think, as well. They've got, like, you know, a lot of these systems, they have their own token that you can trade on. Anyway, SushiSwap is a decentralized cryptocurrency exchange with $24 million in volume in the last 24 hours. So it is, you know, it's up there. It's definitely, let's figure out a list of all of the decentralized exchanges and rank by volume, and we'll see where they rank. They're definitely in the top 20. Okay, so this is like number 19 on the list of decentralized exchanges on the planet right now. They've been targeted by the SEC. Sushi Dow and Head Chef.
Wait, how do you target a decentralized exchange?
Very carefully.
They did a little bit of centralization, and apparently...
so it's not really a decentralized exchange, I guess.
Apparently, one of the guys that runs the thing is public, unlike Satoshi Nakamoto,
who's
smart enough to stay anonymous. Mm. Head Chef Jared Gray and Sushi Dow have been served with a subpoena by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, according to Coindesk.com. The decentralized autonomous organization revealed Tuesday... Gray proposed creating a Sushi Dao legal defense fund in a forum post, saying that it would, quote, cover legal costs for core contributors, unquote. The proposal recommends making $3 million worth of Tether available. Tether is a stable coin, by the way, for those that don't know. It's a dollar supposedly backed crypto token. With another million worth of USDT available in case the initial $3 million are used up. Quote, we're cooperating with the SEC. We do not intend to comment publicly on ongoing investigations or other legal matters.
That's a first mistake.
Why should we give you $3 million? Why would we give... Right. I mean, look, no, I don't mean we. I'm not on this exchange. But why, if you were a part of the Sushi Dao, would one give these people any money if they're not willing to comment on what's going on?
The Dao which can be spoken is not the true Dao.
Now you're referring to the actual Dao Te Ching. We're cooperating, they say. Under the proposal, the fund would pay for attorney's fees and other costs for any core contributors who've been part of the project since April of 2022. When Sushi 2.0 was ratified, the funds would be paid out until any legal proceedings are ended. One of the initial comments on the forum post asked how the Dao, known as Sushi, was subpoenaed, with the user saying they didn't receive it despite being a member of the Dao. And honestly, I'd like to get an answer to that question as well. How indeed were they subpoenaed? I presume they went after any identifiable humans and just called that subpoenaing the decentralized autonomous organization. So, can one of y'all describe for our listeners what a decentralized autonomous organization is?
Not well.
Yeah.
But basically, my understanding is that it is a... organization that probably operates on some kind of proof of stake and allows people to vote on what the organization will be doing. But the details of how they work, I got nothing.
Yeah, it's something like, correct me if I'm wrong here, but your virtual, you know, your cryptocurrency is held effectively by an organization that's decentralized that they then vote on how to pay out, I believe.
Yeah,
along those lines, right?
So
I'd love to see what Investopedia or somebody has to say about answering that question, see how close we were.
A decentralized autonomous organization is an alternative to the classic centralized organization structure. So in a CEO and a board of directors and a CTO and, you know, all these positions in a typical top-down hierarchical corporation, the decentralized autonomous organization replaces that with no CEO and no high-end, you know, entities or whatever. They're all, as you suggested...
C-suite.
Right. So, as you suggested, Nobody, they are essentially making decisions through voting, and they usually vote based on staking of a particular coin. I believe in the SushiSwap's case, they have something called, I think it's called Sushi, but I'm not sure on that. There's a token that's associated with the exchange that they have, and if you accumulate these tokens, you get voting power in making decisions on how this decentralized organization is operating.
See, when that goes good, it might go very good, but if it goes bad, it's really going to stink.
I'm just looking at this thread here about the legal defense fund and what the answers are to the question of how did a decentralized autonomous organization get subpoenaed? And it just seems like they just tried to identify whoever they could possibly identify and served them with paperwork. Said, well, we identified you as a programmer, and so you get to represent the
decentralized autonomous organization.
Yeah, I suspect they went to the about page and of the the developers, and they found out that way or looked at commit.
This has got to be a first, though. I've never heard of a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization, being sued by any governmental agency at this point, because normally it's difficult to put your finger on those.
It sounds like they're not really suing the decentralized organization or the
No, they named them.
The DAO.
They named the Sushi DAO in the case.
Which they can name organizations that don't exist on paper. That's kind of the whole basis of RICO.
Yeah, and then they merge those people. Yeah, it sort of kind of makes me think of the Crypto 6 case a little bit, in that they sort of merged people together that were only very loosely connected and called it a conspiracy.
Yeah, I hope if there's somebody involved with the Sushi DAO that actually knows more about this story, I'd love to hear some of the details on this. There's not much, at least on this particular news story, about it, but I wanted to bring it up as another example of the SEC going after cryptocurrency organizations, and in this case, going after a decentralized, supposedly decentralized, autonomous organization. But it doesn't end there. In other news, the SEC is now suing Tron founder Justin Sun. This guy's a fairly prominent cryptocurrency advocate. He's an entrepreneur. He's a programmer. They're going after him, and they're going after several individuals that apparently were hired to promote Justin Sun's coins, one of which is called Tron. That's his big one. And he hired Lindsay Lohan, the actress, the Hollywood actress. Jake Paul, who is a big YouTube star, apparently. Soulja Boy, and then some other people, including Lil Yachty, Neo, Akon, who's a major music producer.
Those are all syllables.
And Michelle Mason. So some of these people I'm not familiar with, but the celebrities in this case have already, most of them, have settled the charges. I saw a story that this Jake Paul instantly told the SEC he would pony up $400,000 just to make this go away. So most of these people are cracking under the initial pressure. The SEC said in a press release it was suing Sun, the Tron Foundation, the BitTorrent Foundation, and BitTorrent over the sale.
BitTorrent?
Yep. Over the sale of Tronix and BitTorrent tokens. Did you know there was a BitTorrent token?
BTC. I remember there was something that the BitTorrent Foundation, I think it was, or company or whatever, was doing with crypto. Now I think about it. But that was, I actually don't know whatever happened with that.
Well, they're getting sued.
Yeah.
over it by the SEC. And I think Tron had purchased BitTorrent or something like that at some point. I believe Sun.
It was like a reverse. It was sort of like with stocks. You have a reverse where the a smaller company buys a bigger company, basically, because the bigger company is failing. Like Red Hat and IBM,
and then the stock split reverses or whatever.
Well, it's easier to buy a company that's failing to get on the stock exchange.
Oh, then so, try to get on the stock
exchange. Yeah, to go directly on the stock exchange. So
Red Hat bought IBM.
Red Hat bought IBM. Well, I mean, I think it was more it's a little bit more complicated than that, but yeah, something along those lines. It was a reverse merger.
Oh, that's crazy.
They're suing these guys, accusing them of selling and airdropping unregistered securities, fraud, and market manipulation. The regulator described as unregistered crypto asset securities, the BTT and the TRX currencies and tokens. They said that the defendants fraudulently manipulated the secondary market through a, quote, extensive wash trading scheme. Now, I've heard about this wash trading thing before. Do you guys know what it is? Because I'll try to take a crack at it if one of y'all doesn't know it better.
Wash trading is, as I understand it, is getting into a position and then out of a position so that it's a wash.
I thought it was where they buy their own token to push up the price of it.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Oh, I'm thinking of money laundering.
That would definitely be covered by Investopedia, so I would say let's see what they have
to
say.
Yeah, look it up. Wash trading is a legal type of trading, this according to Investopedia, where a trader buys and sells a security for the express purpose of feeding misleading information to the market. In some situations, wash trades are executed by a trader and a broker who are colluding with each other, and other times wash trades are executed by investors acting as both the buyer and the seller of the security. So you're basically boosting the volumes, it says here, of the sales to look bigger than they actually are. Mm-hmm. And apparently they're alleging that happened in the case of Tron and BitTorrent.
Yeah. So basically, if you're doing that repeatedly, then you are getting into the position and getting out of the position so that you can get into the position again. And out of the position again.
According to Sun was named Grenada's ambassador to the World Trade Organization last year. They say tried to artificially inflate TRX's trading volume through the wash trading scheme. The SEC alleges by having his own employees, quote, engage in more than 600,000 wash trades of TRX between two crypto asset trading platform accounts that he controlled. According to the court's filing, Sun's Tron Foundation employees conducted the trades. The BitTorrent and Tron Foundations controlled the accounts, and Rainberry employees transferred the funds for trading. What else? So, yeah, they went after these celebrities as well. According to the filing, while Sun said on social media that paid celebrities were required to disclose they were being paid, Sun himself arranged the payments to celebrities and knew that those payments were not being disclosed, which is what they were alleging about the celebrities, what they were promoting TRX and BTT without disclosing that they were being hired to do so. What else? The scheme required a significant supply of TRX, which Sun allegedly provided. He is a very wealthy crypto entrepreneur. He also sold TRX into the secondary market, generating proceeds of $31 million from illegal unregistered offers and sales of the token, which, of course, they're going to say was an unregistered security. It's just what they say about all cryptocurrencies, except for Bitcoin, apparently, these days. So in this case, they're claiming more than this was just an unregistered security, which is what they went after Library for, which is what they're going after likely Coinbase for. Wash trading, is this a crime?
It is. I mean, if you did it with stocks, it would be considered a crime. I'm pretty sure.
I've definitely heard
and
it with stocks.
It's definitely dirty pool because it's creating an illusion
of trading activity that doesn't really exist.
Similar to naked shorting, which creates the illusion of the existence of coin that doesn't really exist.
Whether or not something should be illegal or is illegal are also two different things.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I would definitely call it dirty pool. I don't think it should be illegal because I don't think there should be a government, but I think you should distrust anybody who does it.
Sure, buyer beware.
Yeah.
You know, just because you see some volume on an exchange doesn't mean that it's legit, right?
Yeah.
And out of time for tonight, I'll put the article up on our social media, social.freetalklive.com. Be sure you follow the @FTL account there. We'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.